Well, we're going to be going back this morning into our teaching with kingdom authority. And one of the things we're going to emphasize a little bit on this morning, especially dealing with the areas of authority, of boldness concerning authority. Authority is a hugely important thing because it affects your entire Christian life. Most Christians use very little authority. They're always trying to get God to do something. And we need to understand this. What is under our authority to do is our responsibility. It's what the authority that's given to you. We've been talking about those things of authority. What does it mean? Last week we looked at the fact in Genesis when God gave man dominion concerning the earth, the things that he created, the earth and the things on it. He said, I've given you authority over this. And he used the word subdue. And the word subdue is to get control of. And especially something that, or a violent or dangerous person or group, by using force to conquer and bring into subjection, to bring under control, especially by an exertion of the will. You need to understand this. See, we need to know man is to subdue the earth, not God. People are praying and asking God to do what is their job. We need to know that Jesus' victory over Satan. One of the things that Kenneth Hagin had gotten a revelation of, which he said when he had received the revelation in the early 1950s, he got the revelation by a vision, and Jesus took him through the scriptures, and Jesus said this to him. He said, I'm not going to do anything about the devil in the earth. He said, I've done all that I'm going to do. Well, Kenneth Hagin said that is totally different than he had ever heard anything preached. He said, none of the people, this denomination, nobody ever believed that. They always thought you got to get God to do everything. And then Jesus took him through the scriptures and showed how he had, through his death, burial, and resurrection, he had given man the victory and authority over Satan. And he said, to pray to me to do anything about the devil is to waste your time. That's what Jesus said, wasting your time. Praying anything about the devil. He said, I'm not going to do anything about it. So we need to understand this. We're dealing, in other words, there's an authority that we have. Do you know, in a sense, that people don't understand this? God's not going to do nothing about your healing, or he's not going to. There's things that God's already done. There's things that God has already accomplished and said in his word that he did. And people are looking to try to get God to do it. Man is not using his authority. You know, you've been an author. How could you be authorized to lay hands on people to heal them if you can't get, if you have no authority to be healed? Ain't that about as stupid as you can get? Give me authority to lay hands on people to heal them, and I'm begging God to get healed. Who ever heard anything so stupid in your life? These things don't even make sense, but yet it's the belief of the church. The church, when we talk about prayer, the Bible says, you know, when we pray, we're to believe we receive it and then we'll have it. But the church is asking God for things like they're trying to get him to give it to them. And it's not. It's using your authority. We use our authority naturally in the earth, you know. And as I use the thing, as you go into the bank, you don't go into the bank. If you're asking for your money, you're not asking them if they want to give it to you. If you are, something's wrong with your brain. You need something fixed. Something's wrong with you. We're going in and asking for what belongs to us. It's my money. It's under my authority. And I'm asking for it as such. It belongs to me. Do you know healing belongs to me? I don't ask God for healing as if he wants to give it. Has nothing to do with it. He already said that. He already decided that one. By his stripes you were. It's like a person coming. Is a person asking Jesus to be saved, like he's going to go to the cross for them that day because they want to? No, salvation's already given. You're supposed to believe you receive it. You're supposed to receive what is already given. Salvation's already been given. Anybody that's in hell today is going would know this, that salvation was already given to them. They're not trying to get it. Nobody had to try to get it. It was already given. Man has the authority, whether you're saved or not, is under your authority. It's whether you receive it or not. It's not whether God gives it, it's whether you receive it. It's your authority. Anything is like that. See, the thing is dealing with the prayer of faith is about your authority. It's not about God's authority. God already established in the earth Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. It's already established here what we're going to do here. What are you going to do here? You see, we're waiting for God to do our part. God manifests himself when we do our part. So we know this. If there's little manifestation of God, that means man is not doing his part. That's why. See, God has given us authority. Now, he is the power that backs it up. But understand this. If you don't use your authority, there's no need of power. There's nothing for power to back up. So there's not going to be demonstration of power because there's nothing been done that would need power. Does that make sense to you? See, you have to do something that requires, in other words, using your authority. And we talk about authority. This is a big thing. One of the things that we're going to look at today, but the church has had maybe mostly a fear of dealing with God in the areas of authority. Number one is people talk, well, you need a personal relationship with Jesus. Well, if you're going to have a personal relationship with Jesus and you really got one, there's one thing about this. You're going to know about where your authority lies or you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus. You don't know what he's like. There's one thing that I've learned over the years. God likes boldness. God loves boldness. God loves bold. God loves it when people step up and start talking like he'll just do anything for him. He's going to do this for me. You watch. That's what he loves. See, that's faith talking. See, we're mostly like, you know, sending Jesus Valentine's cards and thinks that we're really being impressing him. That ain't what impresses Jesus. What impresses Jesus when people step up and start taking authority? And we're going to look at some things in the scripture and see these because in these days and times we live in, the church as it is in general ain't going nowhere. It's not bold enough to go anywhere. It's not bold. We don't know about the violent ticket before us. We don't know about you step up and say, hold the devil, this belongs to me. You get your hands off of it right now. This is mine. You ain't messing with me on this day. We don't have this kind of, there's not this kind of Christian today. The Christian, oh, did you hear what they did? You know, all this happened and that happened and people are whiners. It's this weakness in Christianity. This frailty. Jesus ain't the strong tower you run into. Jesus is the hideout. He ain't a strong tower. He's the hideout. You go and hide out. Protect me from everything. Oh my God, they're going to get me. Hallelujah. See, he's become fearless, not afraid. Concerning the devil, we should just be downright fearless. I always like the thing with Smith Wigglesworth was one night laying in bed sleeping. And he woke up and he looked down the end of the bed and a demon was standing right down at the end of his bed. And he looked up and he said, ah, it's only you. And rolled over and went back to sleep. Oh, no. Today they'd write a book about it. Today they'd write a book about this experience they had and what they went through. Now it's him. He looked down there and said, oh, it's only you. Hallelujah. I don't know why, but I picked those things up from people. And I found out you're going to have to be bold. See, you know, I was the youngest in a family, had five older brothers. You either stand up or shut up. You're the youngest on the list. I'm going to tell you what. I know what David went through with his dumb brothers. You know, the little guy. Hallelujah. You're going to have to stand up. See, we don't have, Kenneth Hagin had said this. He said God expected Christians to have a backbone like a crowbar, and he said most Christians have one like a string. See, we're supposed to, when it comes to spiritual things, we're supposed to stand. We should be bold about God taking care of us and doing things. I can't imagine God not looking after me. I can't imagine it. Because if he wants to quit, we're going to have a discussion. I'm going to be real bold in his face. Because I'll carry his word to him and say, look, this is what you said. This is what I expect. See, you know what? I've told God this. He doesn't have any right to ask anything of me if I can't ask anything of him. That's no kind of partnership. That's not no kind of thing. That's, you know, bullies. I mean, Stalin, you know, my words. Is that what he is? He's another Stalin or, you know, a Hitler or, is that what he is as a ruler? All these wonderful statements in the Bible about what is ours and given to us. Is this just nice talk or is this stuff really true? Are we really the kings and the priests of God? In this earth, where do we really stand? Where does Christianity? Well, Christianity stands in a terrible place of weakness today because it's all we believe in on paper, but in life, we don't stand up like it's true. The church cowers down to things. They're backing off instead of standing up. We let the devil run the earth and overrun our nation and stand around and complain and want to go to court. Well, how are you going to go to court to all these heathens out here that are running the judges and all that stuff? You think you're going to get a fair shake there? No, I need God to show up and I'll get a fair shake. He knows how to remove kings. He knows how to destroy the wicked. He knows how to do that. See, I don't have to do it. I don't go around and try to kill him. I don't have to go around and try to do it. He knows how to do that. You know, I'd probably remove the wrong guy. Oh, yeah. I'm going to tell you what. A lot of people think, who needs to be removed out here? I'm going to tell you, you'd be surprised some of the people that the conservatives think are wonderful. They need to be removed. But we sit and play these games. We don't have the eyes of God on things. We don't see what He sees. There's people that act like they're on your side, and you know what? Their hearts are evil. Their hearts are full of wickedness and evil. God knows. You don't see it, but He knows. Hallelujah. I want to get Him on the scene. He knows who to target. Glory to God. So, know about you, sometimes we just need help. And I'll tell you what, my God's on the helping side. All I have to learn to do is stand in what God has called me to do. You know, I read last week, I want to read again in Genesis in 1:28. And the Bible in basic English says, and God gave them His blessing and said to them, be fruitful and have increase and make the earth full and be masters of it. Hallelujah. Be masters of it. Glory to God. You think that still stands? Has God changed His mind? Did God change His mind at all? You know, if Adam had the authority that he had, what must it be for the church today under Christ Jesus being born again with the Holy Ghost living in you? What must it be today? You see, I don't understand people don't think like that. So I think, dear God, if that was so like then back then, what must it be today? We're seated together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Glory to God. What must it be? What must those words mean today concerning in the earth and the operation into the earth? Hallelujah. Being bold. Glory to God. And David wrote in the Psalms in Psalm 8. I'm going to read there in the Psalms, the 8th chapter of the Psalms. David wrote this. I'm going to read starting at verse 3. David writes and says, when I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moons and the stars which you have ordained. Listen, he said, do you notice he said the works of your fingers? The heavens, the work of your fingers. All it took is God's fingers to do it. Hallelujah. Just took His fingers, the moon, the stars. He says, which you have ordained. Then He says this, what is man that you are mindful of him and the sons of man that you visit him? What is man? See, I love David because David was a questioner. God, David had the question, what must we be that God has been mindful of us? See, the church today preaches Christians are lowlifes, you know. You know, God really don't need you. You're just this, you know, I don't know, down here, and you're just this old servant that, you know, He might, you know, want to, but, you know, you're not too much. David wasn't even born again and had more sense. He said, what man? He had a vision concerning man. He had an insight. He said, what is man that you're mindful of him, the son of man? And then he says, you have made him a little lower than the angels. Now that word there is angels is not what that word is. That Hebrew word is the word Elohim. That's the word God. Man was made a little lower than God. Man wasn't made lower than the angels. The angels are ministering spirits, Hebrew says, for the saints. angels are not above us. He said, you have made him, man, a little lower than God. And you have crowned him with glory and honor. You've made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet. My God. David had a greater revelation than most Christians have today. He wasn't even saved. Had a greater revelation of man's position in the face of God. No wonder his Psalms and the boldness of what he spoke of God and what God would do for him. Read his Psalms of what he talked about God and his enemies. He never looked like his enemies were going to win. No, if enemies mess with him, they're going to have to get in the face of God. That wasn't going to work well for him. See, there needs to be a boldness. You know, if you think like David, you'd get a smile on your face. You wouldn't plan on losing a battle. See, people look across this nation at things that are going on. What's going to happen in these end times? I'll tell you, it's going to be victorious. Watch. If you don't have anything else to do, just watch me. Hallelujah. I'm going to make it. I'm going to go out there. It's going to be good. It's going to get better. God's going to bless me. And anointing is going to get stronger. Just hide and watch. That's what's coming. God has a plan. Glory to God. But God has a plan for man. Hallelujah. See, get that. Meditate on these things. There's all kinds of things that you can meditate on, but meditate on these things. Meditate on what man is. He really is. As I've said time and time again, the vision I had after I was first just born again, when God showed me what man was. And he said that man was my key. He said, man is my key to put sin away forever. Man is God's master plan in the earth to deal with sin and to put Satan, eternal sin, to put it away forever. It's man. He said, man's my key. Well, it's not, you know, basically most preachers, they don't preach like man's the key to anything, like man's the problem of it all. Man's the key. How did man become such a target? Satan hates man. Why? Because man stands in a higher position than he does. And man did before Jesus ever was raised from the dead. Man always held a position. Man was made like God. He was not. He was always just an angel. And now he's a fallen one. And a lot of the power and stuff that he had is gone. He don't even have it anymore. And the church looked at the things and saw the devil was so great that they turned around and made it today. Let's act like he don't exist. We won't even talk about him. You know, there's no devil anymore. We're all just going to go to heaven. It's all just going to work out. It's man's fear to look at the truth. He gets scared. He's scared to look at the truth. The devil's become the great preacher of the church. Preaches fear and insignificance. The people, you know, who are you? You know, you're a nobody, you know. Who are you to think God would move because you're... Like this great God out here, who are you? I'm his son. That's who I is. That's who I am. Let me read you something in Scripture. I wasn't going to have my notes, but it would be a good place to go. Go to Hebrews, the first chapter. Hebrews, the first chapter. I'm just going to read. Let me read down through in the first chapter. This is starting in verse 1. It says, God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past through his fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, having become so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For to which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son today, I have begotten you. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. But when he again brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all the angels of God worship him. Of the angels, he says, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. But to the Son he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever a scepter of righteousness, the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Now, I want you to go back and see something here that was said that God spoke. God spoke these things, and we identify this stuff with Jesus, which is correct. But the last time I checked, Ed's in Jesus' body. Ed and Jesus are one. Now, these things are nicely said religiously, on paper, but actually belief and truth. In verse 4, he said, which of the angels did he ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? See, we look and say, yeah, that's Jesus. I'm going to tell you what, that's Ed too. The Bible tells me I'm begotten of God. I'm begotten of God. Me and Jesus are both begotten of God. I'm a son. We're sons of God. If you can't read this and identify you in it, you've been reading it wrong for years. You don't know what it's saying. See, when the Bible talks what Jesus is, that's what we are. That's what we are. The head ain't one thing and the body another. How could it be? Is your head something your body isn't? Is your head, I'm going to tell you, just try to, without your hands, try to move your Bible. Move it. No, it's through our head. See, nothing happens here in this earth unless it's through the body. The head moves through the body. We're one. I will be to him a father. Was that just Jesus? No, he's Ed's father, he's your father. Hallelujah. And he will be to me a son. See, you need to see these things. You need to look at it. See, these things were written. See, God talked with the prophets before. He said, I'm talking to you now through the Son. Hallelujah. I'm talking to you directly. God's speaking at you. Are you hearing what God's saying to you? Who you are, what you are. See, oh, it's so easy to identify in Jesus. It's so easy to identify in somebody else. See, he's sitting out there somewhere. Well, he's perfect. He's this. But it's just me here. See, if you view yourself like that, you're always going to be a weenie. That's what you're going to be. You're going to be a weenie all the time. You identify yourself as some weakling, that's what you are. You identify yourself not being in Christ, not seated at the right hand of Christ. I can tell this. The church is never looking to the things that are above. It's always looking down here. It makes its decision looking down here. Looking at this place. Through the politics and the everything else. It's looking through. Wants to make changes. Looking at all the stuff here. It don't look who they are and what they are. And stop and say, you know what? Think I'm going to make some changes. No, let's pray and try to get God to do something here. Maybe he'll want to do something. That's not what we're doing. Hallelujah. God has a plan. Glory to God. He created man in his own image and in his own likeness. Hallelujah. That's you. Are you a human being? That they're speaking here a word, man. In fact, you'll find if you study in the Hebrew some of this language that's used in the book of Genesis, referring, like it was the reference to Adam, it was speaking concerning Adam and Eve, was talking about man. It wasn't talking about man as a male. It was talking about Adam as being a male person. When he was talking about Eve turned around and ate of the fruit and then gave it, it says, to her husband with her. And it was talking about Adam from the standpoint that, in other words, her male companion. And see, we don't identify. God identifies us and looks at man in the earth. It's mankind, it's one. In the spirit, there's neither male nor female. The place of authority. See, we need to take our place of authority. We need to see what God gave us and what God made us. Take our place. that we have this place of dominion. Do we have dominion in the earth? Or who has dominion? We ask, who has it then? If Jesus has it and we don't, well, what are we going to do about that? I mean, you can't do anything about it unless he gave it to you. And if he didn't give it to us, do we have dominion? See, people use the term and say, well, man lost his dominion. I know when people say that, I want to know what they mean when they say that, because I can't find lost dominion in the scriptures. If you lost dominion, you do not have the authority to accept Jesus Christ. If devil has dominion from the standpoint over your life to control it, can just control it, well then, you wouldn't have the will to get saved. How could you have that if you don't have any dominion? Jesus, when he appeared to Kenneth Hagin, gave him the vision about how demons operate through people. I thought it was one of the most interesting things, and you never hear preachers talk about it. We take certain things about these visions that the church has taken, certain ones in certain parts, and they throw them out there and they tell about them. It's because the other parts don't fit their theology. But Jesus used this illustration. First, he showed a woman how the devil operated and how she became obsessed in a way of thinking. She opened up her mind to the devil to where the devil controlled her. It was a Christian woman. He showed how it would happen, what the devil does. Then, interesting enough, Jesus showed us a non-Christian guy isn't born again. And he showed how the devil took over and controlled his mind. And then Jesus said to Kenneth Hagin, now this is a sinner. He said he wondered how to allow the devil to take over his thinking. He could have stopped it if he wanted to. That's what he said about a sinner. See, we don't preach that part because it don't fit our little faith messages. You see, those are the things. See, to me, when everybody's looking over at this, and I'm looking, I'm always the guy that look. Hold it, because I saw that. Said, here we go. Here's this. Here, I wanted to find out about this. A sinner, the devil can't dominate him. Well, then I thought, well, the devil doesn't have dominion over that man from the standpoint of control everything about his life. That a sinner could stop. Now you understand. It has to be true. Or every sinner would be a murderer and chasing and trying to kill everybody on the face of the earth. There wouldn't be a sinner, wouldn't be doing every just bit of evil. The devil could make them do anything. Well, he can't. Everybody has a right to choice. Everybody has a right. Well, what happened then? What took place? Well, it was a very simple thing. A very simple thing. When Eve ate of the fruit, when she listened to the devil talking through the snake, and she listened to it, and then she ate the fruit, and so she went and got Adam, and Adam just said, yeah, whatever mama's doing, I'm doing too. So they both got together and said, let's disobey God. The spiritual light went out. See, man dominated and ruled in there. See, to live in dominion with God, you have to have the light of God. You can't walk in the dominion of God if you don't have the light of God. See, when light is on, just in the natural, when light's on, you can see really what's going on around you. You go in a dark room, you can hear all kind of sounds and things going on, and you might try in your mind to figure out what's really happening around you. What are these noises and what is this going on? And you, all of a sudden, they turn on the light, and what your mind was imagining certain things are happening wasn't happening at all. There was other things making those noises. See, you can make things make noises and people would think it's a certain thing, but it wasn't at all. Why? Without light, you can't really see what's going on. You can't make wise decisions without light. You can't do it. And see, what happened to mankind when man sinned, man's no longer operating on the light of God out of his spirit. His spirit is now blind to God because, see, he sinned. Sin separated him from God. He no longer has the light of God. Man now is going to make his decisions about what he sees, touch, tastes, feels. He's going to start ruling in the earth by his flesh. Isn't it a shame? We get born again, and most Christians still, that's the way they'll rule. They'll try to rule through their flesh. What they see, what they feel, that's how they're going to try to rule. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, it doesn't say as many as are led by the flesh, or how they think, or what they think, smart. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. You see, Adam and Eve began now. They have dominion in the earth, but their dominion is influenced only by their flesh. Now their feelings start to rule. Well, we can see how well that turned out. Their first son becomes a murderer, tries to start a new religion. God came along and he wanted blood sacrifice. So the youngest son is offering sheep, and his older brother wants to offer fruit. And he gives God fruit, and he's mad that God won't accept what he's giving him. See, he wants to worship God based on what he thinks. I think God ought to accept this from me. There's a lot of Christianity like that today. People have their ideas of what they think God ought to be like, and what, and this is what, we come on loads of it in the church world. Man's opinions of God. And we come and offer God what we think we want to give to him. Well, this is what I want to give to him. You know, God talked to Kenneth Hagin about Christians giving clap offerings to God. You know, that used to be a real popular thing. I don't know if people still do it or not. But they give clap offerings to God. And the Lord said, there's no place in Scripture tells a man to give me a clap offering. He said, that's a fleshly natural thing. He said, they applaud, you know, one of their favorite performers. And he said, they want to treat me in the same way. You don't treat God like a man. See, Christians don't treat themselves like what they are, so they cannot treat God like he is, because they think God's like they are. And I remember one time a minister came along and he said to me, he didn't like the fact that Kenneth Hagin was told that by God. And Kenneth Hagin had taught that and then put it in a book, and this guy said to me, he said, well, he said, I want to give God a clap offering. That's what I want to do. And I said, well, why would you want to do for God what he never asks you to do or doesn't want? What is it with you? And I asked him, what is it with you that this is what I want to give? Wouldn't you want to give God what he wants? You know what? A lot of Christians don't. A lot of Christians want to serve God on their terms. That's why today we have such a variance in Christianity. It's all over the place. Because it isn't about the Bible anymore. It's not about what God wants anymore. This is what I found out over the years. The more I can walk in line with God, what God wants, the more blessed my life becomes. I found that out to be a truth. And I found this out. The people, they're always doing, and well, this is what I believe. They're always problem people, and they're always trying to drag their problems over to the people who follow God and trying to get their problems off of them through the people who actually follow God. They are the troublemakers of the bunch. They want the blessing following the God they choose. See, we need to understand. See, all this fits with authority. We're dealing in the areas of authority. We need to sit down and look and say, hey, hold it. Where's our bounds of authority? Where are we at? God decides. God gave the law to the children of Israel. Why? To show them what sin was like. To show his holiness and the things that he required, what it required to know him. And what things would keep you away from knowing him. He gave them those things. And God sent this thing because, see, man had to have the knowledge of sin. He had to know the things that were messing him up. Today, we think salvation means you can do anything you want. It don't matter. You know, it won't mess things up because, see, I'm a Christian. Well, it don't work that way. Apostle Paul wrote about that there in Philippians about reaping what you sow. If you sow to the flesh, you'll reap corruption. It didn't say if you're a Christian and sow to the flesh, you won't reap corruption. He wrote that to Christians to tell them, you sow the wrong things, you get the wrong things. He told the Christian that. You see, God laid out those things not to hurt man. God's desire was to bless man. That's what he wanted to do. He sent Jesus. Because why? Man in no way could meet the qualifications of the law. His nature would not even allow him to do it. He was in sin. And the only way that a person can serve God is to take on the nature of God. You can't serve God without his nature. It's impossible. No religion of the world can ever serve God without his nature. That's why Jesus said, you must be born again. It is a must. That's why he told them, hey, you know, the place where they worship, he said, the temple, he said, is over in Jerusalem. He said, salvation was of the Jews, but God's looking for he has a new one coming. There's a new one coming where people will worship God in the spirit and in truth. Why? No one could worship God as a spirit, and you cannot worship him any other way than in the spirit. You can't do it any other way. It's an impossibility. Why do you think he put the Holy Spirit in people? See, the Holy Spirit, most of Christianity, he's sort of an extra. He's just a side thing over here that's sort of put in us. And no, you can't, without the Holy Ghost, you ain't hooking up with God. You're not going to, the whole purpose of this thing is you and I, we have been given God's nature. We've been given the Holy Spirit so you and I can come in contact with God like real sons, like we really belong to him. We're one in his family. Oh, what kind of Christians are waiting to get to heaven to get to be spiritual? What on earth would we, you know, it's sort of, what's all this done in here for if I gotta wait? All of it's, that's all nonsense. That's all stupidity. That's all ignorance. That's the devil. Stay dumb while you're here. Just stay stupid and let me run over your life. And when you get to heaven, it'll get better one day. See, a man don't know his authority. He don't know what he is. Oh, my God. We are so much better than we thought we were. It is much more glorious than man thought he was. It's much more glorious. God did all this because God, when we have union to God, it is a perfect union. Our spirits have been made one with the God of heaven. We're in Christ and Christ's in God. You're not a side thought. You're not something that comes groveling to a throne. You're seated in it. You're a son of God. See, we have, and this, you've heard me talk about this so much, cultural Christianity. Because cultural Christianity is a mess. Cultural Christianity keeps you away from the throne. Cultural Christianity sets limits, you know. It's just like with the Jews. One of the worst things that Christians do, they look at the way Jews did things and they decide that God does things because the Jews did it this way. So this is God's idea. Loads of the stuff the Jews did wasn't never God's idea. Wasn't God's idea at all. You know, God's idea is this. The eldest gets the inheritance. And all the ones underneath, they don't get, they get the little pittance of things. That's the way the Jewish thing operates. And who's gonna run the show after daddy dies? The eldest son, he runs it. And the daughters, they don't get nothing. They gotta get married to somebody to have a little bit of something. That's culture. God never started that. How many times did God pick the guy on the bottom of the totem pole? Here's the church. Jesus Christ is the elder son. He did all the work for salvation. And how does God's kingdom run? Everybody except Jesus becomes a joint heir with him. Gets the same thing he gets. Only in the church don't believe that. All we talk, we read those scriptures. But we're still low lifes, you know. We're still, you know. He's there and we're here and it's just, we don't see ourselves. We don't see ourselves in light of it. We squander around down here trying to get things from God, thinking, you know, getting a few bucks here and there and God doing something, healing me, like that's some kind of big deal. And we got the exact same inheritance that Jesus Christ himself has. You see, God runs a different culture. I like his. I like his culture. He's got a great culture, but we decide in the church world we want the cultures of the world to be predominant in the church. We want to bring all the everybody's thoughts and things and everybody's culture in their way they want to think. And I believe it's this way. And I don't care. I have no time for it. I ain't got no time for it. I've had it with man up to here. Well, probably up to here. We just keep going back to it. We have glory, and we have glory to look at, but we just keep looking down here. We're trying to rule looking down here. You rule looking up there. That's where you rule. That's your place in your seat. Hallelujah. Your Father is God. Now let me, the average person. Now you know, I have a natural daddy. I had a natural daddy. He went to be with Jesus. But I'm going to tell you what. God's my Father. God's the Father of my eternal spirit. My dad wasn't. My dad was never the God of my eternal spirit. He was never my Father. My spirit didn't come from my dad. See, we put so much emphasis on the natural side of things. We have so much energy. We've taken on the character. You know, a lot of our taking on the characteristics of what we were raised in is because we kept our thoughts in those areas of how we were raised. We weren't taught to look above. See, I became a sore in the side of my family because I would look at other things other than what they were telling me, and they hated that. Oh, no, 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 no. You got to look over here at the way we look at it. And that's something's wrong with you. Don't question things. Don't look at things and say, that doesn't make sense. You never do that. You never question God. See, they used authority to oppress. They didn't use authority to bring light. They used authority to oppress. You know, we need to watch. You know, today, you know, we don't like to say, oh, these groups are trying to teach stuff to our kids in school that isn't good. Why? Our side does the same thing because we're afraid that if our kids hear another side of the story, they're going to run off to it. It's because of our faithlessness. We don't believe our faith in God will keep our kids. See, God had to teach me that lesson. You know, I was thinking about sending my kid to a Christian school, and the Lord said, what's the matter? Don't you think I can take care of your kids in a public school? See, I never asked him about it. I went and decided what I was going to do. And he put me in a spot because he put me in a spot and he exposed my faithlessness. That God can't take care of my kids in the world. And I just want you to know this. My kids went to public school and never followed off in none of that crazy stuff and things that they would tell them. Why? Because I was in authority. I was the ruler. I was dominating and ruling. See, we don't have that today. This is what all this fighting and bit throwing school. We're trying to politically change people's minds. Forget it. It don't work. Haven't you noticed in all these years none of that ever works? Have you ever noticed it? Have you ever noticed voting people into offices don't change it? I mean, hey, Trump got out of office and that stuff. Are they still fighting over the same stuff? And they will. It don't matter because we are over here. We don't take our authority in this stuff. We're scared here in this earth. We're going to try to hide out. We'll go in a cave and let's buy some food. Let's get some dried food. And we'll go hide in a cave somewhere and we'll just get out of the way and get away from these people and these bad people out here. And if we can just get away from them, it'll all be okay. Yeah. If we just get the right votes and we can get just the right laws passed. Understand right now on the books of America, we have all the laws that we need concerning our border. We don't need one more law passed. Our problem is the courts. The courts don't follow the law. The courts don't. It has nothing to do with passing laws and doing that. And what does our Republicans do? We need to make new rules about this and we need to. I don't need their voice anymore. We already have 14 million rules we don't use. But see, it makes them feel significant. I'm doing something. We got a problem. We don't have a justice system in America. It does not exist. The Constitution of the United States ain't even worth a good piece of toilet paper if it does not have a justice system. Laws mean nothing without justice. Rules don't mean a thing. And we're fighting over laws. God sends Jesus to the Jews to come down to fulfill the law, bring justice into the land. And what happens? The legalists hate him. They want more rules. Nothing's changed much, has it? No. Sin never changes its outcome. It always produces the same rot. But see, it'll make you want to give up. Now, I sit and see these things, but I'm going to tell you, you got to keep looking at above or you lose hope. And most Christians have lost hope. We're trying to think of how to hide. What are we going to do with all this stuff going on? What we're trying to look in the natural to figure it out. We need to look above. Hallelujah. We need to get ourselves set in the strong tower. Hallelujah. Not the weak tower, not the wimp tower. In the strong tower. Hallelujah. Man, we need some kings rising up. We need some people of rule standing up and say, you know what? The devil ain't overrunning me. Kenneth Hagin used to do this all the time. He'd get in meetings and he'd say, these people say the devil's taking over. He said the devil can't take over because he can't take me over. And then he used to kick his leg in the air when he used to say that. Even in his 80s, he used to kick his leg in the air. He said, the devil can't take me over. We ain't got much of that in the church today. Most of the church is already taken over. They won't stand up and say something. They don't even believe the devil exists anymore. You know he's taken over. When you believe he doesn't exist, he's already taken over. But I want to tell you what, the devil ain't taking me over. Because he can't, not because Ed's great, he'd have to take Jesus over, and he can take Jesus over, so he can't take me over. You got to get settled in those things. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid for my grandchildren. Oh, in this earth and the way they're, what about the kids? The bad part about the kids, they got to put up with the weenie Christian parents. That's the problem. That's the problem in the earth. This church, the earth, the church lacks leadership. I want to tell you, most of you are more of a leader than the majority of what they call the big guns and whatever else in church. You're more of a leader. I ain't waiting for somebody to rise up as a leader. That's my job. I'm going to be one. Hallelujah. I learned years ago, be a leader in the family. I know how to do it. I qualify for a leader in the church because I qualified through the proof of my family. I'm doing better than a lot of preachers. My God, they've been through 27 marriages and whatever else today. And they can't keep nothing running and their kids are heathens running around. They can't keep their kids married. Nothing stays. Nothing works. It just goes on and they run around there. Oh, Jesus is big. Well, he ain't big enough to take care of you and your family. Wow, he ain't very big. Hallelujah. Good preaching, folks. I want you to look at authority once. We're going to look at something here. Over in Genesis, the 11th chapter. I want you to see something because he said about man's authority is gone. Because we want to see what God says. What God speaks. See, that's what I want to hear. I've heard people, but oh my God, I want to hear God. I need to hear Him. I need His thoughts. Now, in the 11th chapter of Genesis, I'm going to start in verse 3. This is about a group. This is Cain's descendants. This is about the Tower of Babel. This is Cain's descendants. See, Cain's descendants followed right after Cain in religion. They're going to start their own religion in the earth. They're going to do it, see. See, I wanted to offer. I killed my brother because he pleased God and God wouldn't accept my sacrifice. Who does he think he is? Won't accept my sacrifice, what I want. So I'm going to start my own church now. Because I don't like the preaching from that church over here that I'm going to. I don't like that one. Because they talk things that I don't believe it. So I'm going to start one that I like. Let's start the church that moves and does what we like to do and preaches only the words from the Bible that we enjoy. Oh, hey, we got loads of those churches today. Paul said it was going to happen in the end times. People were going to have itching ears. They're going to draw teachers themselves. You know what? The people in the pews are going to stand in judgment over the turnout of their church because they caused it to happen. They will only let preachers stand in front of them. They will only listen to the preacher on TV that says what they want to hear. They only listen to the guy that's talking what they want to hear, not what God's saying. Sometimes what God's saying is hard to hear. I don't necessarily care to hear it. It's not always fun, but I always find it's the best. And whenever I submit to truth, truth's always a blessing. Now here in this verse 3 says, and then they said to one another, come, let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone and they had asphalt for mortar. And they said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves. Let us be scattered abroad, lest we be scattered abroad over the whole earth. Now, when they talk about building this tower, what they did is they build these things that they find that have been built back through the century, the step pyramids. See, they'd use those to worship. Isn't it interesting, though, that you find their usage in that if you go into the countries of the East and that stuff, where you see over in those areas, the biblical areas and that stuff, they find these places. From Egypt had the step pyramids that they used concerning worship. You find them all through there. And then here we find, you come over to South America and Central America, they find them. And today they're finding them in North America where the groups, they said Indians of the past, they built step pyramids where they worship. See, the devil got into it all. He got into everything. And see, this is what they were doing. They were building there. But listen to what happens here. See, these guys are organized. He said, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men built. Now listen, this is what God said. This is not man's idea. This is what God said. And the Lord said, indeed the people are one. And they all have one language. And this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. All things are possible to him that believeth. You see, we in Christianity have been very immature about things about the kingdom of God. We think rules of the kingdom were introduced when Jesus was raised from the dead. And then all these different things that Jesus talked about when he was on the earth. See, these principles of the kingdom had already been established and already existent. You see, things I learn about the spirit realm. I learned as a sinner being involved in sorcery. We use the same principles of things that the kingdom of God uses. We use the same spiritual laws to get things to manifest in the demonic realm. You use faith in that realm. The devil don't move if you don't have no faith in him. The guy that could stop Satan from taking over his mind, if the guy don't yield to him, but you yield to him by faith, you can get things to happen. And see, I learned that. I learned how it worked. I saw it. When I came over to the kingdom and I got born again and came into the kingdom of God, I was so disappointed in people in the church because I found out, oh, they had all these beliefs they say they believed, but they never acted like they were true or real. And I knew why they didn't have manifestations of the Spirit. When I was a young Christian, I went to a church and I saw these people been Christians for years and years. Some of them had been Christians longer than I was in age. You know, I was in my 30s and these guys in here, my God, they've been in their 40s. They've been born again. And they don't know much about getting anything in the Spirit of God moving and doing much of anything. And they're baptized in the Holy Ghost, speaking other tongues. And I understood why they didn't. It's the same way we had it over in the area of sorcery. We had people who came over and played the game of wanting to be in sorcery. But they never really walked in faith and got in deeply into it or anything like that. They were just sort of religiously in it. You've got to walk in faith. And the more faith that you use in Satan's kingdom, the more he manifests. Well, I understood that. And when I come over in God's kingdom, I just realized, well, you put faith to work over here in God, and God moves. And God would move. And you'd think those guys would have liked it. But they didn't like it. They thought I was weird. Something's wrong. You know, this guy over here with this, is this really God moving? I've been here for 40 years, and God ain't moved. Why would he come when this guy comes? And this might be the devil. You don't use faith in God and things don't manifest. It is that is a lie if anybody, well, we're using faith and nothing ever shows up. I'm sorry. I could go over to Satan's kingdom and I'd get over there and believe in. And I mean, you can ask Wanda and our kids what would happen in our house. Then those demons would manifest. And so what happened when Ed got saved? We had more manifestations than you could shake a stick at because I knew how to get God to manifest in our house. And I found it hard to get God to manifest in the church because of so much unbelief working against you all the time. You couldn't get it working in the church. Because you're always, again, people are always operating against you. Now that's not fun to hear, but you might as well get over it. It's the truth. People, God can't move in a church any more than the people will allow it. Knowing the truth ain't how you get it to work. It's doing the truth is what makes it work. Doing the truth makes things work. You practice it. You act like what you believe is true. And I'll tell you, things will happen. You start acting like what you believe is true and you watch it, you'll have manifestations. That's how they come. You act in those things. And see, getting people over there into that. You know, that's why it says, don't get weary in well-doing. It didn't say, don't get weary in believing. Did it? Never said, don't get weary in believing. Why? Because believing itself won't produce a thing. It's believing and doing. Now that, he said, don't get weary on doing it. Why? Because that's the spot it gets easy. You can be going along and doing it, and it looks like this ain't working, but you just keep doing it, and you just keep doing it. Wanda and I learned that lesson. You just keep practicing it. You keep practicing it. You just keep doing it. We went along sometimes, and it just seemed like, you know, we're just blowing smoke, man. We're just going along here. We're spinning our tires. But we just kept doing it. Because we'd go back to the Word again, and we'd see, no, this is the right thing to do, and so we're just going to keep doing it. We're just going to keep doing this. This is what I'm going to do. And we would just keep doing it. Oh, and then things would start working. Then things would start working. And you'd start seeing those things work. And you were so glad you didn't quit back there. See, we have today, it's all this, you know, I want to come believe God, you know, after 2 minutes after I hear about it. And I want to have everything it takes to it. And we never spend any time in it to really work in it, to do it and to do it and to do it. Most Christians are not like the farmer. You know, they want to plant corn today and harvest tomorrow. They want to give their money today and harvest money tomorrow. They want to do all these things today and get tomorrow. So it'd be nice to do that. But it's not the way the system works. We wouldn't have to have all that weary and well-doing stuff and faith and patience things, you know, those all them dirty words, you know. Oh, no, we're a society of instant gratification. It's got to be quick. When I turn my computer on, I'm supposed to be able to go through every site in 15 seconds. Oh, my words, if it gets a little too slower. Oh, my words. Oh. Impatience. Everything has to be quick. Has to work just like. It's got to do it just like. Ha. Weary and well-doing. But listen what God said to them. God said that he said, now nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Does that sound like a people who don't have authority in the earth? They've lost their authority? Does that sound like somebody who don't have any authority? See, that's why when people say this, I'm not trying to knock something just to be knocking something. They're going to have to answer questions to me. Hold it. Your thing you're saying don't fit. This is what God said. Now you said this, but God said this. Who am I supposed to believe? I'm sorry. Not my favorite preacher. If he didn't say what God said. I'm not against him. Maybe he knows lots of wonderful things. I can learn from them. But I know there I can't learn from him because I'm taking what God said. That's the only thing I can do. That's one thing I love is Kenneth Hagin said, don't believe anything because I said it. If it don't say it in the Word. Go to the Word and find out. And we have too much today. People know too little about the Word. We have a lot of things that we know that we've been taught in certain areas. But there's a lot of the Word. My God, when I look at all I don't know, dear Lord, whew. My. See, understand that God had given man dominion in the earth. And here's man using his dominion against God's plan in the earth. Now, God's great wisdom was this. Why? Now, we talk about agreement. Here we find, if two agree by touching anything they ask, it shall be done of them, my Father which is in heaven. You see those spiritual laws? See how these spiritual laws are standing? They're not new in the New Testament. What the problem was is that when Jesus came to the earth, his people knew nothing about them. They had been lost through the ages. Like today. There's revelation that we walked in back in the 80s that I still walk in today. Well, loads of Christianity don't even walk in it. Revelations that God gave to the earth. People moved and floated away from him, listening to all these preachers going in these different directions. And people gone off into all kinds of things. And revelation's been lost. And people want to progress ahead. You can't progress ahead till you go back to the revelation that was lost. You got to go back, just like Isaac. He had to go back and redig the wells of his father. You got to go back and redig those wells of anointing, because those anointings will take you to new anointings. But you can't get to the new one without those. You're not going to know new anointings and you don't understand authority. You're not going there. Forget it. You ain't going to get some anointing that's going to be above that. It don't happen. We just, you know, it's like teaching. It's line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there, there. It's a building process. It's not one revelation is so great above another revelation. You need those revelations to build on. It builds you a stairs and a platform that you can walk and rise in there. But you can't leave steps out, because the platform will collapse. The foundation won't stand. And there's revelations of the past that people aren't walking in, the Spirit-filled people aren't walking in today. See, this is one thing. I've been, for about the last 10 years, going back over the things of the past, going back to the wells of the past and drinking. Everybody wants a new preacher bringing a new revelation. I want to walk in what I was already given. I want to drink of those wells. Then we'll go on. You know, it's like Fred Price used to say. His people used to get up his church and said, why don't you teach on something else besides faith? He said, I will when you learn this. He said, when you get this one and you can really operate in it, we'll go to something else. No, that's not the church world today. We always have to have something different. This is the great downfall of the church. This is the collapse of the church. Because people don't want to realize it takes me time to learn principles. I don't get them after a couple of teaching. Kenneth Hagin said it would take about 35 teachings just to cover the subject of faith really well. Now, that doesn't mean you sit under 35 different teachings, 35 times you listen to a teaching on faith. That ain't going over. Most people haven't heard but one or two different kinds of teaching on the subject of faith. Because there's things on faith, especially how faith, things that will cause, stop your faith from working. Most people have never listened to hardly anything on that stuff. They don't know it. Why? Because we want to hear the positive side. I'm going to get everything I want. Even if it don't work, just keep telling me it's going to be all right. Just keep telling me it's going to be okay. Just keep telling me it's going to work, even though it doesn't. It doesn't matter. Just keep telling me. Well, see, there's one thing as I realized. See, this was the success. Kenneth Hagin said this, and see, I went back to look at my, he's not the only one in this. I've listened to others. They talked about moves of God. Kenneth Hagin said he would go into a church. He would take no less than three weeks of meetings. He wouldn't take any less. And then back in those days, a lot of the guys were like that. He wouldn't take any less than 3 weeks. Sometimes up to 9 weeks they would take a place. Now this is church. Every night except Saturday night, they didn't have service. Man, you can't get Christians today do three nights in a row, much less do. But he said this. He said he talked with other ministers about this. He said this. He said, now in our morning sessions, he said, what I did for 3 weeks, for five mornings, he would do this. He would teach on the subject of faith. So he would have 15, he would teach at least 15 lessons on faith every morning. And then they'd have the night meetings. And so the night meetings were more like a, more toward maybe the crusade, a Holy Ghost type meeting that he would do in the night times. They would do those things. But anyhow, he said it usually was not till the third week of the meeting till anything notable would take place. And should I tell you why? You want to know why? Because it usually will take at a minimum at least that long to get people in the church in faith enough to move God to move. I listen to other, in fact, I have some guys, you know, years past, major evangelists and stuff and ministers who said they would go to churches 9 to 12 weeks and hold meetings before notable things would happen. He said, until you got the church in faith and get them to repent, he said, you didn't see notable things. And he said, mostly you never saw sinners start to come into the kingdom until the church straightened out. You see, we know nothing about that stuff today. The church world has this idea, we're just going to get a guy in, have a revival, and it's going to work. We're going to get, this is why revival don't last. Now, you know, we get a little bit of something and it just... is because I found this out in my own personal life. If you want God to move in your life, you got to go after it all the time. And it's going to have to be your number one thing. That's just, if you know another way, please tell me. I'd like to find out. That's the way it is. It's just the way, see, Christianity is a life. It's not a place you go to on Sunday, and that's not what it is. It's a life. See, we've lost that because why? Culture. If we take the United States, the cultures are, there's no culture. All cultures are geared toward the flesh. Christianity is to have a different culture. Well, the world can't have a culture toward the spirit. They're not spiritual. They can't have one. The only group that can have a spiritual culture is the church. There isn't another group. There's not another group that can be in fellowship with God. There's not another group. There's no other place to turn to. Now, I want to show you something about a guy here that, I mean, he just impresses me because, and his name's Abraham. He excites me, Abraham does. I want you to listen about Abraham here. In Genesis 18, we all know about the story we've heard of Sodom and Gomorrah, you know. Oh, God, look at us today, it's terrible in our nation. Well, what we want to look at, see, if you want to change something, you got to know what to do. And God gives us things. We have a type and a shadow here because... with this guy, Abraham, we see principles of the kingdom of God at work. See, and if we see them at work, should I tell you what you do when you see them at work? Start picking up that pattern. You know, God don't ever have to come and tell Ed to do certain things. If I see the pattern in the Bible, I just start doing it. I don't pray 2 seconds to find out if I'm supposed to. Well, I've had people come and ask me, well, did God tell you to do that? No, it was in the Bible. I saw it. If they did it, it worked. I found out this. See, I would sit, this is what I did as a baby Christian. I would sit and listen to Kenneth Hagin and tell stories and explain from the scripture what God would do in certain things, and he'd tell how he put it to practice. And you know what? I would go do the exact same thing Kenneth Hagin did, and I would get the same result. I never asked God if I was supposed to do it. I just thought, if this is the word of God says do it, and this guy's showing you how you do it, well, what do you do? It's just like, let's say something wrong with my car, and I go to Mike and I say, hey, Mike, could you please tell me about how to fix this car? And so Mike would sit down and explain to me what to do. So I go home and do something else. And I'm going to pray and ask God, what should I do about that car? No, you know what? I go home and I do what Mike does, and you know what? I get the results that he said he was going to have. Huh. This is just so hard, this Bible stuff, to figure out. I mean, you just got to be so darn spiritual. But I used to, that's why, this is the way I learned how things about operating in the Spirit. I would listen to what he'd say to do, and I'd go do what he did, and I'd get the same results. I said, well, that worked. Now, next! See, maybe I was just a simpleton. But you know what? I was fortunate. I'd never sat in a church for 20 years and listened to these spiritual people. We're praying and seeking God and we're just doing that. Yeah, and they're frozen in that seat and don't ever get nowhere. No. When you find somebody that knows how to do it, do what they did. Hallelujah. This ain't rocket science, folks. But this stuff worked if a guy did the Word. See, a lot I learned about how you do the Word is by listening to other people's experience and they're walking in the Word and I put it to practice. And found out, my God, it works. This stuff works when you do what they do. Hallelujah. Well, here's our boy Abraham. Now listen to this. The Lord showed up with Abraham. Him and some of his angels showed up and they had lunch with Abraham. Ain't that nice? The Lord shows up and has lunch. But here it is. Verse 16. It says, then the men rose from there, looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to send them on the way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm doing? Now listen to this. This is the Lord. Now listen to this. The Lord, here in the earth. Does this sound like God's talking about a guy who ain't got any dominion? God says that, the Lord's walking along and saying, you know what? Not good that I do that. I've got to talk to Abraham about this before I do anything here. Can you imagine? God ain't going to do something in the earth till he talks it over with a guy. Oh, you want to kick the teeth out of the spirituality of the church today. You throw that out there, they'll run you out of town on a rail. You know, they'll get rid of you. Man, for sure, you're teaching blasphemy. We have had so much blasphemy that has been accepted in the church. And what is true has been kicked out the door. God said, look, I ain't doing anything down there with that guy. See, I remember reading this stuff as a young Christian. I'm thinking, don't sound like this guy's lost any authority in the earth. God don't want to do anything here without first talking it over. Why? He gave the guy authority. Why would you bypass the people you've given authority to? Why would you bypass them? I mean, I want you to think about this. Have any of you ever worked for leaders who bypass you all the time? They give you authority to do stuff, and you're down here doing, and they're out here doing their stuff, messing up what they've given you authority to do. Do you ever have anybody like that? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Aren't they great leaders? They're the worst of the worst. God's a great leader. God doesn't. Listen. In Romans 11, verse 29 says, for the gifts and the callings of God are irrevocable. God never changed. Israel strayed away from God, got under the judgment of God, but God has not changed his call concerning that nation. The anointing that's on that nation, whether it still stands today, God don't give man dominion and pull it. He has never pulled it. It's never happened. God is always, Abraham was a man in the earth that God could get him to use God's, the dominion was given on behalf of God to carry out the will of God. What a prize. All through the Bible, we have people that were like that. God wants to move in the earth. He finds a guy named Gideon. A little bit of a nobody. But this man will use his dominion to allow God to do what he wants in the earth. This guy, God said, you know what? I want to give you 300 guys to get down there and I want you to get down there and lick hundreds of thousands of soldiers. And this guy goes, okay, God, let's go get them. Man! Woo! See, we want that kind of miracle today. But you know what? You're going to have Gideon's. Gideon was not a special man. You know what Gideon was? Gideon was a man who asked a question to God. God, and for all these miracles and stuff in the past, how did we end up in the mess we're in today? He wanted to know. Well, he found out. God could use a man that was looking for something different than he already had. Today, people, they aren't looking for another. They aren't sitting down and saying, hey, if today the church is supposed to be this, why do we got a mess like it is? Why? People ain't asking questions. Why? Because, you know, God might tell me what an idiot I am, and that's not exactly what I wanted to hear. I want you to tell them how bad the Lutherans are, you know. Don't tell them how bad I am. Don't speak to my problem. I just figured he's so busy with me, he'll let you alone. That's what I figured. I just figured, well, anyhow. But this is God. Now, these to me are just wonderful revelations that God stops and said, you know, can I hide from Abraham what I'm doing? Now, just think about it. Abraham is not his child. I'm just telling you, God, there's nothing going on in this earth today that God is doing. He's trying to get attention to people. People ain't listening. Just like that, he wouldn't go without saying to Abraham, what about us? God ain't bypassing it. I'm going to tell you what, it talks to me a lot about things. Why? Because I refuse to believe he would bypass it. I ain't going to believe that junk. I'm one of his guys in the earth. I'm a child of God. God ain't bypassing me. I don't need some prophet to tell me about the future. I have God to tell me about it. He says, wow, listen, since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, why is the world going to be blessed in him? Listen to this. Here's a wonderful revelation of why things don't work today. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring Abraham what he has spoken to him. If he don't keep his family in line, he ain't going to end up in what God wants him to do. See, I don't believe this, and your kids going and sowing the wild oats and straying off and that. I refuse to believe that. That's for the heathen. That is not for Ed. Now, you can have it for your family and do whatever you want, but it ain't for Ed's family. I don't believe in it. I don't talk that nonsense. You will never hear me talk to my kids. If my kids, I feel there's something that's wrong, they're going astray. First thing is I go to the Lord and say, that ain't going on in this place. That ain't going on here. See, my kids and my grandkids are going to be in heaven with Papa. You need to understand that. It ain't going to be any other way. It's not allowed to be any other way. I know this sounds like, well, you just never know. You know, you just never know. They have their will. You ain't ever ran into Ed's will. Because Ed gets in the will of God. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you, we're some tag team. I get a hold of him and he knocks him out. Hallelujah. You got to get yourself over there where you know. Hallelujah. See, I believe the word. God spoke of Abraham as just like, well, Abraham's just going to do right. He's going to make this thing work. If an unsaved guy can do the will of God and make it work, I do not believe. I have no place to be. It ain't going to work for me. If it don't work for me, this salvation ain't worth spit. Jesus ain't worth spit. We have to decide what we really think of this salvation thing that we got. Is this thing really work or not? Is this thing as glorious as they said? Well, I believe it's more glorious than what we said. I believe it's more wonderful than what we were told. And I think its power is greater. But I refuse to believe what the world says, and the world's been preaching to the church for too long. Too many worldly ministers have been saying too much worldly stuff. Talking about the problems of the world, taking over the church. I'm sorry. The gates of hell don't prevail against the church, and so they can't prevail against Ed's house because I'm in the church. And the gates of hell ain't allowed in my house. And ain't allowed in my family. You know what? The gates in the Bible, gates were a place where the elders would go and mete out the justice. That's what they would do. They would go there, and that's basically held court. That's what they would do. They would go to the gates of the city. That when people wanted justice or wanted things, they would go to the gates of the city. All through the Bible, you'd see where people went to the gates. They wanted something, they went to the gates. That's what, the gates of hell. See, we go to the gates of hell, where hell's trying to mete out its justice. We go there, and we take over. Not the church. The church invites hell to the house. Brings hell to the house, and then we try to fight hell there. I don't fight hell there. Hell ain't coming to the house. The hell ain't going to prevail. Hell's not allowed in the house. Hell ain't dominating my kids. They ain't going to be a bunch of disobedient. I'll send them home to be with Jesus before I let them sit around and act like little hellions. See, there's no fear of right and wrong. We aren't doing it. I'll tell you what, that's why it's authority. My children learned, they learned God talked to their daddy. When Lena was little, Alyssa told her one time, says, you lie to dad, God will tell him. And he's right. Things would go on. I'd know about him. God would tell me. I didn't have to go find out from somebody or something was going on. Hallelujah. Because daddy was spiritual. Daddy was the head of the house. I was supposed to be like God in the house. That's what we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be like God in the house. I didn't have to go to church to find out what God was doing. I was the head of the house. God was showing me what He's doing. See, we need to come to these places, walk in these places. This is where we can walk. I learned the ways of the Spirit in my home. I didn't go to church to learn the ways of the Spirit. Because when I went to church, they didn't know nothing about the ways of the Spirit. They couldn't teach me the ways of the Spirit because they didn't know. If I would have waited till I went to church, I'd have never learned nothing. I learned in my house. I learned how to take authority. I learned how to throw the devil out. I know how to keep things in order. There was a leader there, and I took the responsibility. That was my responsibility. My family's messed up. It's because of me. So you take your place. I learned this. Hallelujah. The benefit of good leadership in the house, spiritual leadership, your family gets blessed. You don't have all the sickness and this stuff running on. Just like with Wanda and I out here, all this stuff going on. I mean, at our age, we should be croaked with all this stuff that's been going on. We ain't even as much as had sniffles. We ain't on all this stuff. Wanda working in a school with all this kind of stuff going on around, and she don't miss a day sick. She just is fine and is everything running around. Why? Because we don't let the devil run over us. This is good preaching, folks. We raise up our family after us. Hallelujah. Sickness ain't the norm. It's abnormal. It's learning to operate. See, this is about authority. Things that you will allow to go on or you won't allow to go on. You have to come to that place. What you allow and what you don't allow. Hallelujah. Well, I'll meddle on some more here. This is the scriptures. Now listen to this. This is Abraham. And the Lord said... Now listen, the Lord said, because of the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and because their sin is very grave, I will go down now see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry against it that has come to me. And if not, I will know. It says, then the men turned away from there and went toward Sodom. But Abraham still stood before the Lord. And Abraham came near and said, now listen what Abraham, I want you to get this, here's Abraham. Abraham is not born again. If we would sit and look from a scriptural standpoint up to this point of Abraham's encounters with God to this point, his revelation from God is pretty limited. He doesn't have a whole lot of, he doesn't know a whole lot. Now understand, Canaan, this man, Abraham, the Bible tells us he was an idol worshiper. He lived down in Ur of the Chaldeans. The Chaldeans were heathens. That's where he came out of, idol worshipers. And God said, hey, go over to this land and I'm going to bless you over there. And this guy obeys and goes over there and listens over there and this stuff. All I can figure is Abraham must have figured out a few things out of the realm of the Spirit. Well, listen to what Abraham says. Now this is Abraham. We don't even have this revelation in much of the church world today. He said, would you also, this is Abraham, came near and said, would you also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Would you do that? He didn't answer it like he really wants to know what God thinks. Of. Abraham, this is what he thinks of it. He says, suppose there were 50 righteous within the city. Would you also destroy the place and not spare the 50 righteous that were in there? Listen, far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. For far be it from you, should not the judge of all the earth do right? This is a man talking to God. Saying, God, are you going to do the wrong thing? Who talks to God like that? Most Christians would never. If they got up, they'd be afraid to admit it if they did, because all the people turn against them. Because they talk, say such a thing. Abraham! Now, I can go get you books where major ministers wrote about, you know, judgment in the last days. And one book I couldn't believe was a real popular one back years ago in the early 90s, that some guy, he had a vision, and he wrote a book about judgment was going to fall in America and how God was going to kill all the Christians too, but it was going to be to his glory and all this stuff. And I thought, now, how could you read this story of Abraham and believe this one and turn around and God gave that man a vision? Now, I believe he had a vision. I believe he did have one, but it wasn't from God. God ain't killing Christians for his glory. I mean, that's, how do you get, you know, when I look at Jesus' ministry, they glorified God when people got healed and whatever else. We didn't say, well, God, you know, Jesus killed 40 people over here and they gave glory to God. You know, I read it. I want to see it. He asked this question. See, when I read these things, I think the boldness of this man, he's not a child of God. But the boldness of this man knows some things about between right and wrong. And he said, God, you can't do that. I'm going to tell you what, I bet I wouldn't surprise God, but woo! There's a guy got sense down here. We're going to get somewhere with this boy. He's not like him on the dummies. Go down there and kill them all for the glory of God. Wait, I'll write a book and I'll make money off of it. Printing lies, saying I had a vision. But see, when I see this thing, when I look at this, is the God? He says, is the God of all the earth going to do what's right? He wasn't going along with him going down there and killing everybody. He wasn't going to go along with it. Verse 26 says, so the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare, he said, the whole place. No, God said, look, I want to just do the righteous. I'll spare them all. Who's calling the shots and what's going to go on there? Doesn't it sound like that this guy has some kind of authority? Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. See, that stuff never started. That didn't start when Jesus said that. Jesus is just telling his disciples about something that already existed in the kingdom that the Jews were never using. It's always been there. It was written back in the beginning. Those spiritual laws, they ignored them. Religious people reading their religious book, following their religious traditions, missing the glory. Oh, they want the glory, but they can't experience the glory because they're not following the principles of the glory. Now, we can get down through this whole thing. He kept, now, I love it because he kept dwindling it down and dwindling it down. And now, we know this, I know this about it. He doesn't know how far God would go with him. He's sort of honest. I got him to go down to 50. Let's get down further. But he's sort of hesitant toward it with God. He said, well, now look, I'm not trying, don't hold it, Lord, don't get upset with me, but what about, and he gives a lesser number, and he goes down to the place of 10. If you can find 10 righteous, will you save the whole place? This is about keeping the whole place on the basis of the righteous down there. Now, I personally believe this, and I believe it to be true. I believe if Abraham would have said, God, just save the place. Don't do it. I believe God would have done it because Abraham said so. I believe he'd have done it. We find that the Lord didn't flinch at all each time he went down. He didn't get, the Lord didn't. Well, now you're pushing it here, Abraham. Now, no, I'll do it for that. I'll do it for that. Abraham stopped at 10. Abraham figured, you know, in the city, there have got to be at least 10 decent people now. I said, man, he must have been in New York. We didn't know. New York, I'd go to 5. No. Well, I want you to understand this, though. We need to say, the Lord doesn't flinch at all about this, about what this man is saying. You know, if God isn't walking in the light of this pattern, then this whole thing is a misgiving of Scripture and shouldn't even be in the Bible. Shouldn't even be here. But God's trying to teach us something about this man, this Abraham. Abraham kept going over here concerning his authority. You know what? I think Abraham learned that day about his authority. He learned that day of how far he could go. See, he never had anybody to teach him. He's just learning as he goes along. And Abraham learns this thing about his authority. Now, when he said, look, God, would you destroy the righteous with the wicked? This would be far, you know, you wouldn't do this. This is not something you'd never do. That wouldn't be a righteous God. Was that a just God to kill the righteous with the wicked? That's like, you know, get somebody murdered and, you know, take the family of the guy that was murdered, you put him to death and you put that family to death too. That's what it'd be like doing. He said, would you do that? So what happens? God goes down there, there's not 10 righteous. But does he destroy the righteous? No. He brings the righteous out. See, this is why when people talk about today, you know, God destroying here in America, God's not going to destroy the righteous with the wicked. I don't know about some people, they call themselves Christians, but I don't know how righteous they are. But God ain't going to come and destroy me with the devil's kids. Be it far from him to do such a thing, to destroy the righteous with the wicked. Far be it. See, we as Christians, the Christianity has gotten off base today. They're off base in their thinking. They're off base how they look at things. And we have these wonderful patterns that have been written. These things were written for our admonition. On the people, it says, of whom the end of the age has come. That's speaking to us directly. Are we the people of the end of the age? Then this was written for Ed Gibson. This was written, this thing was written specifically for me. It was written specifically for you. Was it for our learning? What do we learn from it? Well, God really liked Abraham. People look at these people of the past as if, and marvel at them. They look to the future and marvel at what the people were to come. And the church hasn't arisen to what we were supposed to be. They look to the days of the head of the glory that would come. The Bible talks about the glory that was on Moses. That glory, it says, was it nothing to the glory that's on the face of Jesus? It ain't nothing. Oh, look what God did with the children of Israel. Look how them heathens turned out. A bunch of them died, didn't they? You see, there's a boldness that must come back. We need to look in the Scripture. We need to let God take us back to the Scriptures again. And look, the Scriptures need to become personal to us again. The church has lost the personal. It's not about us anymore. It's not about, this book is about Jesus, and you can't see Jesus without the church. If you see Jesus without the church, you got a Jesus I don't know. Because Jesus and the church are one. And in this earth, the only Jesus that's here is the believer. There ain't another Jesus in the house. We're the only Jesus. The Holy Ghost is here, and He's to reveal Jesus, and He's revealed to us about Jesus. Why? So we can carry out the ministry of Jesus. So Jesus can be manifested in His glory here The church has a place. You have a place of authority. And see, I'm telling you these things because I want you to begin to look at these things. Talk to the Lord about this stuff. Ask Him to reveal you. See, we need a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. We need to be praying that all the time for ourselves. Lord, give me a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of You. I need to know something in my knucklehead. I need to be able to see like God sees. I need to see myself in the light of what He made me. If I don't see, I ain't gonna do nothing. We're not gonna do anything just going on with what we already know. That's all this is as far as we get. But there's a glory in the church. And it must be preached and it must be said, and I guarantee you, people will persecute you to believe this. You'll be persecuted. If you live godly in Christ Jesus, you'll get persecuted. I've learned that. You know, as soon as you start talking about the glory too much and too much of the church being like Christ, I'm going to tell you, they'll line up to talk about you. The so-called spiritual people. Oh yeah, well he's going too far. That's right, let me alone. I'm going further. But there will be a people, and there is a people in these last days that are going to go too far in the church. They're going to go too far for the rest of the church. They're going to be called crazy and weird, but God's going to love it because God's will be carried out in its fullness like it has never been done in the face of the earth. The church of this last day and this last age is the glorious church. It is the church without spot or wrinkle will rise up, a people so bold, a people so on fire for God, I'll tell you what, it'll make many so-called Christians cringe. They'll be afraid of it. They'll be scared of it. Do you know that happened in the books of Acts? In the book of Acts, see, we want really great miracles in the book of Acts. Well, the second great miracle was Ananias and Sapphira dropped dead. You want to clean up the church? Get God in it. Hallelujah. He'll kill the dummies that are in there holding things up. He comes in, Ananias and Sapphira died, and it says, you know what? Speaking of these people that hung around, played Christianity, it said they no longer came and hooked up with them. They didn't do it anymore. Stay away from that, but you can't play church over there. Oh, don't go around that group. They have real church. They don't have that fake stuff, and you go in and everybody just feels good and goes home and lives like hell. You'll die in that place. The glory will kill you. Do you know what? The glory can kill people, not by judgment, because people can't take the power of the glory. It'll kill you. If you want to live like hell, stay away from the glory. Stay away from the glory. It's not the place to go play. It's not the place to go play. All through, I've read through stories, church history and that stuff. People who came to play in the glory, and what happened to them? Oh, things don't end up pretty. So you come to play in the glory, it's not a playground. You get in the glory, and the glory, in the glory is the holiness of God. It's the power and the holiness, and I'm going to tell you what, it'll knock you out. You get into that place, when you get into those, you step into those places, I'm going to tell you, you don't want out of it. It is so wonderful. Hallelujah. You get into the glory, you don't have anything on your mind but God. The rest of anything else don't even matter. You know, it's one thing as I learned this about getting over into glory. You always have in your mind the things you'd like to talk or ask God about. And 99% of that is all your flesh, of what you think. But you get over into glory and you never even think about those things. And if you ask God anything, it'll be something that's really important to ask about. Oh, yeah. I wondered about that, and Kenneth Hagin said he had the same thing. He said, boy, these things I always thought I'd really like to ask the Lord about if He appears to me again. And he said He appeared to me, and he said, I never even think of those things. He said, I'd ask Him questions about other stuff. And he said, after it was over, he said, I think, well, I wanted to ask Him that about it, but I never even think about it. He said, why? Because in the spirit, you only ask Him about what's in your spirit. You're not asking about natural. See, that's why this natural Christianity is so lacking. Because all it does is it talks to God. Men don't talk to God out of their spirits. They're talking to God out of their flesh. They're praying out of their flesh all the time. They're asking God things out of their flesh. not out of their heart. What is your heart really after God about? You want to get answers? You let your heart talk to God. What's really in your heart that you'd like to talk to God? See, I'll guarantee you, there's every one of you have things in your heart. You don't know if you ought to say them. But you just like to ask God. There's things that trouble you, things that bother you. God ain't nervous that you're going to ask him a question and he's going to go, well, you shouldn't ask that. Don't you know I'm God? You know? He's never done that. I've asked God already why things were so messed up. I'd ask God, I've been blunt with God about what? I want to know. Out of my heart. I want to know for information because I want to know what to do. I want to know what I can and can't do. Don't you? Don't you want to find that out? Just like with me, I want to find that out. I want answers to things. I want to know, am I wasting my time trying to change something? Lord, is this thing really right? Is it, Lord, this don't seem right to me. And I'll talk to him. I'll just be blunt, talk to him about it. I'm amazed how many times, how God responds. And how many times he never responds to people because they're talking to him about the things that it isn't really in their heart. The things that really trouble them. We're afraid. I mean, Abraham, when he found out he could get by with asking for 50, man, he kept pushing it. Oh, I like that. Oh, I like that. Now, if he could, you think God's going to kick you out for saying, you know, Lord, let's change that one there. Let's go to this. What do you think? Hey. Do you think God, if God would respond and say, in other words, I'm going to do what Abraham wants. What about you? Do you think he has no interest about what you want? You think he has? See, we have a hard time in this in Christianity because this Christianity, you know, God's the answer to everything. What did God teach us and train us for if we haven't learned to know what's the right thing to do? Abraham says to God, you're going to do what's right, ain't you? Don't we have any Christians today that don't know that they know what's right or wrong? Why would I cry out for God in this land for justice if I don't know if justice is working or not? I know justice ain't working and I expect him to show up and do something. He said if we cry day and night, I want justice in this earth. We don't have no justice. I can't count on men to do justice. Without God, there is no righteousness. I want God's judgment because that's the only righteous judgment and justice we'll have if God shows up. Because we can't count on man. We can't even count on it in the church because the church world is full of injustice. It's filled with it. It's filled with people. Their motives are all messed up and wrong. Doing what looks good, but the motives are bad. It's all about getting what people want. Everybody, you know, getting the things that I like. The money, this and that, the other thing. The motives are terrible. And that promotes nothing but injustice. Let the God of all the earth, I want him to show up. I want justice. Hallelujah. See, we need to be able to cry. We need to cry out for that. We need to want it. See, do we want justice? We can sit around and complain about all these things and elections, what we want to do. And I mean, they're always already talking about electing Trump. I'm sorry. I ain't even near that. We can't even get Christians to promise to show up at the church the next week, much less they're trying to vote Trump in, to, you know, 3 years down the road. Dear God. So carnal. When elections become the big things we need to talk about. In the church world, sin up to our necks, and we're talking elections. Injustice, and we're talking elections. I mean, they're raising money now for all that stuff, and they already started hitting things, and I put unsubscribe and all their things, and put the stops on all that. I don't want none of their stuff. I want them to know I have zero interest in what they're doing. I have other things on the plate right now that are 1,000 times more important than anything they've been doing. Hallelujah. And I thank God for the people that nobody knows that have been not on the front page of anything anywhere, or nobody even pays attention, but they're in the face of God. I thank God for those people who stand for God that nobody knows about, because I tell you, the whole thing would fall apart if it wouldn't for those people. What's upholding anything has nothing to do with who you see in the limelight. They're doing nothing. There are people who are, we don't even know their names, but people, and they're just after God. Oh, and thank God for them. They stand in the face of God on our behalf. They're holding judgment back. They're holding destruction back. They're holding back the note we owe on our how many trillions. You know, I can't believe, I mean, the conservatives have the nerve to make statements about about the debt. That, my God, the Biden administration's running up our debt. Well, we just had a Republican president that ran it up like crazy too. Isn't that funny how they don't remember that? You know. See, we know people are so blind in sin. And we're sending them checks. To get elected. We're doing these things, and these people are out here, they're yelling and screaming for people to do it. You know, it's like, oh, Biden wants to keep things shut down. Trump shut things down, didn't he? Well, you know, hold it! See, when it comes along, and see, that's why I say, one side's as bad as the other. You get in these fights. And it's always the other guy's fault. And it goes from both sides. As I've come to this conclusion, it needs to change. It needs to change. I need to change whatever God knows everything. Whatever changes I need to make, we're just going to do that. I'm going with God in this thing. I cannot see natural. When I look what's up above, I can't look and find what I see up here, and I look in the earth and I think, no, we're going to have to go back here again. We're going to have to go back here again. We got to go back here again. Because down here, you play this game down here, we're going to end up with the same results. You keep playing the same game. Is it going to be different? No. That's what we've been yelling. We act like we're going to keep doing the same things over again and end up with a different result. What do they call that? Insanity. Insanity. Keep doing the same thing that produces no results. And just keep doing it thinking you're going to get another one. Oh, just keep doing it. Yeah. It failed me 17 times. If we do it again, well. But I want to tell you this. God will not fail us. God will not fail us. Let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, my God. Father, these folks, this is your church. Hallelujah. Your people. You called them out of darkness into your marvelous light. Hallelujah. I want to thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Father, for the dominion that you've given them. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father God. Lord, you have anointed them. You have anointed them with your anointing, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, Father God, that they don't have to fear or worry about anything in the name of Jesus. I want to thank you, Lord God. You're waiting upon them, Lord God, to whatever they bind on earth. Hallelujah. Will be bound in heaven. Whatever they loose. Father God, Father, I pray for them in the name of Jesus that you give them a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you, that the eyes of their understanding are enlightened to the hope, hallelujah, of your calling. And oh, your calling on them is a great one, a great calling, a magnificent calling, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, you have seated them in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Lord God, you've given them a place of authority, hallelujah, that heaven's ear is turned and waiting. waiting for them, hallelujah, waiting for their voice, that their voice is significant in this day. Their voice, Lord God. Lord, it's not just a million voices crying out, or a billion from the earth, or 2 billion, or 3 billion. It is not that. It's the voice of the one with authority in the name of Jesus who speak forth, hallelujah. Lord, that, Lord God, whatever they bind on earth will be down in heaven, and whatever they loose. And Lord God, that the prayer of agreement, hallelujah, where two agree, just two agree, as by touching anything that they ask, it shall be done to them of my Father which is in heaven. Where two are together in that agreement. Jesus himself is in the midst of that agreement. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Father, the place of authority that you've given us is so great. It is so mighty. It is so powerful. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Father God, that we'll step forward in there. Lord God, the boldness of Abraham, Lord God, that we can look at. Your guy Abraham in the earth. And I want to thank you, Lord God, that you let the light of that revelation shine on us. Hallelujah. That we will come forth with boldness, Lord God, and declare the truth. Hallelujah. And stand forth and speak the truth. And Lord God, I want to thank you, Father. Heaven has been waiting. Hallelujah. Heaven has been waiting. The angels of heaven have been waiting upon this day and hour of a people rising up in the glory. Hallelujah. Lord God, that you have declared would be in the earth in these last days. A people with a voice that would be like one voice of God speaking, hallelujah, in power, bringing forth the glory of God into the earth. Days of heaven in the earth. Days of heaven in the earth. Hallelujah. And we thank you, Father. Father, we're the church. We're your children. Hallelujah. We're the begotten of God. Hallelujah. That's what we are. Hallelujah. We're your children. You've called us. Hallelujah. And we stand before you today. We stand, hallelujah, in our place of authority in Christ Jesus. That we're in him. Hallelujah. And he's in you. Lord God, we're kept perfectly sound. Perfectly well and whole in the name of Jesus. And we have the mind of Christ. We're not trying to get it. We thank you for the great Holy Spirit in us. The mind of Jesus Christ himself is living inside of us. Enlightening us. Opening us up to the truth in the name of Jesus. And Father, we're hearing it in Jesus' name. And then we're acting upon it. We're acting upon it. Lord God, that's what we want to know. We want to know truth, but we want to know how to act on the truth. And I thank you, Lord God, we're being taught. We're being taught of the Spirit to be the doer of the Word. Taught of the Spirit to act on the Word. Hallelujah. And we will see the light of the glory of God revealed in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord God, for the Spirit of seeing and knowing. Hallelujah. As it was prophesied over many, many times over the last 2 decades of the last days, that spirit of seeing and knowing and operating, Lord God, those areas of the gifts of the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge flowing freely in the church and all believers in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Seeing and knowing, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father God, we need to see and know, not natural knowledge of things. Lord God, being able to see what's causing problems, what, Lord God, is behind things, the spirit operating behind things in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, that we are seeing clearly in the realm of the Spirit, then we know what to do. We know what to act upon and do. And we thank you, Father God, Father, for those manifestation of those gifts in the church of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Through all of us in Jesus' name. Not just through some, but through all in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Father, I know this, that they are a key. They're a key to the manifestation of the other gifts. They're the key. And I want to thank you, Father, in this day and time, Lord God, raising up a people who have sight and understanding, a people who are wise in this day and in this time. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father God, you're bringing us forth in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord of God. Lord, that we're wiser than the world. Hallelujah. That we're smarter than the serpent. Hallelujah. We're not going to listen to him. But Lord God, we'll only listen to your voice, and your voice is the one that we will only hear in the name of Jesus Christ. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.